Did you guys hear this story? Back in July, David Castro attended a baseball game, an Astros game, with his dad. And as they made their way home from Minute Maid Park, there was some kind of a problem that they encountered with some folks in another vehicle. Ultimately, there were shots fired. And this 17-year-old kid was struck and mortally wounded and died a few hours later in the hospital. When I hear a story like that, what I want to say to myself is, that's an anomaly. That's just kind of one of these weird, tragic things that pops up rarely, but is not the norm. But the truth is, you guys know that's not true, don't you? In fact, this kind of thing happens so obvious, or often rather, we've named it. We call it a road rage incident. In fact, as I was reading about this, another story popped up literally last week on 249 down by Willowbrook Mall. There was another shooting like this, and the police said, we suspect that to be a road rage incident. Kind of stuff happens all the time. And if you're thinking to yourself, maybe we need to stay off the roads and get in the air, right? Not sure about that. Heard about this, right? Airlines are reporting a record number of cases this year of misbehaving passengers. Have you heard about this? 5,000 incidents in the first 10 months of this year on airplanes where people have literally had meltdowns, mostly over masking vaccine stuff. I don't want to put on my mask. I don't want to sit next to this unvaccinated person. And it isn't just that folks are unhappy. They are literally having meltdowns, assaulting of the passengers, assaulting the airline employees. And if you've missed all of that, hop on YouTube, because people with their phones have videoed it. And you can watch the viral videos there. Someone says, well, I guess we need to not fly or drive, but don't go to a fast food place. Did you hear this story? About the lady at a Pennsylvania Chipotle? The line wasn't moving fast enough, and so she pulled out her gun to hurry things along. Are you beginning to wonder if something's going on? Time Magazine wondered about that. They said, why is everyone so rude right now? I think that's a good question. The consensus seems to be that all that has happened over the last couple of years has left Americans fearful and frustrated and angry. That anger is being vented in some really ugly, even violent ways. I did, as I was looking more into this the last few weeks, discover something that I didn't know about. Have you heard about rage rooms? This is a thing all over the country. Someone's making money providing these rooms where for a fee you can go in with a sledgehammer and for 30 minutes wail away on old TVs. And they say that it may be a good outlet for people who are angry. We are in a difficult season that I think has left us fearful and frustrated and angry. I can see that in myself at times. And I have seen it in my brothers and sisters. I wonder, do you see it in those two places too? Now, I want to suggest that I think in all of that, there is an opportunity for all of us to do what Jesus called us to do, and that is to be lights to the world. Matthew 5 and verse 14, after laying out at the beginning of the great sermon the character of kingdom dwellers, he goes on to talk about how that impacts the earth. And he says, we're the salt of the earth in verse 13. And then the light of the world. That's what we're supposed to be. And I think in everything going on around us, brothers and sisters, there is an opportunity to do that. What a chance, as people are melting down on airplanes and pulling guns at Chipotle, for God's people to say, there's a better way, brothers and sisters. It's a better way to manage your anger. Jesus has the answer. Let's show you the way. So I want to talk a little bit about some things that I think we need to remember if we are going to be that light in this difficult world. And so what I've done is I've taken three ideas I want to share with you this morning, and I've distilled them down to three words that I hope will be sticky, and that you can hang on to them all day long, maybe all through this week, and even by Friday, maybe you'll remember two of the three, okay? That's what I'm shooting for today. So only three words is what I want you to grab as we go through the lesson together today. And maybe the first one is going to be the very most important. As circumstances stir our anger, the first word I want you to hang on to is the word danger. We need to remember, brothers and sisters, that when anger is stirred, we are in danger. Let that word be sticky. Carry that with you this week, right? And so on the slide, I put Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. And I think Paul makes that point to us there. In Ephesians 4, he says, in your anger, do not sin, and do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Do you see it there? Do you see him telling us that? When you are angry, you are in danger. He says, be angry and do not sin. Why does he say that? I don't need to tell you this morning. You already know the answer to that. We know it. We know it from personal experience that when we get stirred up, bad behavior so easily goes right along with being angry, doesn't it? Scripture tells us that over and over again. A couple of great places in the Proverbs. 29:22. Think about this one. Proverbs 29:22. A hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. And then Proverbs 14, verse 17, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. And this is my favorite one, Proverbs 14, 29, he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. But you knew that, didn't you? When we are angry, it is just easy to behave badly, to do sinful things. And so the warning is recognize the danger. Now, Paul takes us a little deeper than that here, right? He wants us to see something more than just the fact that we tend to be bad when we're mad, right? He also, in verse 27, wants to remind us that we are dealing with the adversary, that we are battling an enemy who is looking for an opportunity to take advantage of us. And when we hang on to our anger, we're giving him a room at our house, or we're giving him an opportunity to work on us. Or the NIV, which is the translation I've used, the NIV says we're giving the devil a foothold. I like that metaphor. We're giving him a foothold. Do you know what a foothold is? A foothold is a little indentation in the rock that a climber will use to set his foot along that ordinarily smooth rock surface. There's a little dent he sticks his foot in so he could push his way on up as he climbs the mountain, right? When Heidi and I were hiking back in September in Moab, we encountered this puddle on the trail. Those little pieces of rock on the left and the right go on for like 932 miles. There was no way to get around the mud puddle. We had to go, through it. We didn't know how deep it was. I think Heidi was especially concerned about the possibility of there being a snake lurking in the puddle. We don't want to go through the puddle, okay? Had no extra boots or anything. So we had to go around. And I know you're thinking, well, that looks pretty easy. That's because you weren't there, okay? So if you look that on that rock, there's white areas on that kind of red, orangey rock. That's the slide zone, folks. People start trying to scramble up like we did, and we slid right back down. It was slick. So we're thinking, how are we going to get around this thing? So you will notice, do you guys see that indentation right up there? What we found is if we could scramble up that slick ledge there, just get to that spot, you could set your feet in there. And so that's what we were able to do. We kind of scrambled up, got our feet right there, and it able to kind of move around and get around this thing. I won't tell you how long it took because I'd be embarrassed for you to know. But we did get around it without getting our feet wet. That's a foothold, right? Now, serious people who climb don't need something that dramatic. I mean, they literally set their foot in some little bitty indentation. But here's the point. What it does is it gives you a spot where you could set your feet and push up. And what Paul is saying is the devil is looking for that in my life and yours. He's looking for a spot where he can get in, a place from which to work on us. And when we are not wise about how we handle anger, Paul says, you give him a foothold. You give him a room in your house. You give him a spot from which he is able to work. And so, we need to recognize at those moments that we are in danger. This is happening to people all the time. So what's going on in our culture right now? People are angry, and they're giving the devil a foothold, and he's just getting in there and making big, huge messes. Think about this lady at Chipotle, folks. She's mad because the line isn't moving fast enough, and she pulls a gun. I mean, that's not a situation where the manager's going to come out and ask for patience. They're calling a cop with a gun, and she's going to be in cuffs, and she's going to go to jail, and she's going to have court. It's going to be a big, huge mess because she wanted a burrito. Come on. I've seen these videos, some of them, of the people melting down on the airplanes. Now millions of people see your moment where you look so foolish. But it didn't feel that way. Not at the time. So we need to find ourselves here. I will confess that I have been in some really slow lines at fast food places. Not everybody can do Chick-fil-A. I have never thought about pulling a gun. But I have had my moments. I could walk you back through my life, and I could show you some places where I said some things and I did some things that I'm embarrassed about. Things that were sinful. And most of the time, those spots where I behaved badly, I was mad. How about you? You got some places like that too? Even when my anger is reasonable, and listen, there are some things going on today in our world that disciples of Jesus should share the Lord's anger over. Even when my anger is reasonable, it is not justification for behaving badly. Be angry and yet do not sin. So, first word I'd like you to carry away today. Let it be sticky and hang with you all week long, is the word danger. When my anger is stirred up, I am in a dangerous situation. So that's the first thought I wanted to share with you. Boy, we could just leave it right there, right? That's enough to ponder all week long. But I want to go a little deeper because there's more to be seen here. And I think we need to carry with us and remember. And so I'm going to give you the second word. I'm going to give you the word season. And I don't know if that'll register with you or not. So let me work that a little bit and ask you to think with me about that. I'm going to start with an illustration. Wildfires can happen at any time. You'd be camping up at the state park, get a little fire going. Maybe you're not real careful about watching it, and it gets over and it gets some other brush lit, and then you got something dangerous, right? You could potentially have a problem with that. That can happen any time of year. But those who study wildfires will tell you there are seasons where it is far more likely for a little fire to get out of control and become a big fire. In fact, we have, especially out west, fire seasons where at times they'll even say to campers, you can't light any fires because it's too dangerous. Conditions are such that it's easy for those fires to get out of control quickly. Australia is like that. They have fire seasons too. In fact, in February of 2009, conditions near Melbourne, Australia, were as bad as they had ever been in the history of the nation. Literally, temperatures were at record highs. It had never been as hot near Melbourne, Australia, as it was the weekend of February 7, 2009. And they had been dealing with a period of drought. And so all of the countryside was just dry. And then they expected that day, because of the weather, that the winds were going to kick up in the afternoon. And so they have a scale for measuring wildfires. And they said their scale did not go high enough to measure how dangerous these conditions were. And so the weather people began notifying the local authorities and said, you need to be ready because on Saturday, February 7th, we're going to have fires. And they did. 400 wildfires burned that day, and they burned so quickly and so intensely and so rapidly that 173 people were killed by the fires on that day alone. In that part of Australia, it's become known as the Black Saturday fires. Such a tragic loss of life. It's true that fires can break out at any time, but there are seasons where the conditions exist, make it far more dangerous. And I wonder, is anger like that? I mean, I guess you can get mad anytime. All of us had the experience of having a perfectly good day ruined by some random provocation that just came out of nowhere, right? But then there are seasons where it is a whole lot more likely, where the conditions are prime in our life for a fire to get started and burn out of control. As I was thinking about that last week, Cain came to mind. Will you go back in Genesis 4 in your Bible? Think about Cain's story again from this perspective. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we're told about the birth of Cain and Abel. But then in verse 3, it says, so it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. So both of Adam and Eve's kids are bringing a sacrifice to the Lord. That's the story. But, middle of verse 4, it says, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So for reasons not explained, and I won't speculate this morning, God was pleased with what Abel brought, but with Cain, not so much. He must have not, in some way, have followed God's instructions about sacrifice. Wasn't pleased with him. Picking up the middle of verse 5, it says, so Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. He was mad that God accepted what his brother offered, but not him. And so the Lord confronts him about that. Verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, why not your countenance be lifted up? Just do the right thing, God says. Listen to this, middle of verse 7. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. And its desire is for you. But you must master it. I think Cain is in a season. I think he's despondent that God did not accept what he had brought. He's mad about that. And God is saying, look, just do the right thing. Get over it. But if you don't, you see what he says about sin there? I love that figure. He said, sin is crouching at the door. I think he's saying to Cain, you're in a season. And sin is about to light a fire in you. You better master this. Or there's an explosion coming. Well, he didn't listen. That's exactly what happened. Look at verse 8. Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about that they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Now, I don't know what transpired prior to this encounter with his brother. I don't know if they had a conversation about this that set him off. I don't know what set him off that day, but I tell you what, he was in a season. And that fire got sparked, and he committed this unspeakably evil crime against his own brother. He killed him. It made me wonder if we have seasons too. Maybe when I'm under a lot of stress, things are bad at work, things are bad at home, everything is broken, demands are being made on my time and schedule, I'm just feeling the pressure. Are you ever more likely to go off in a moment like that? Or maybe I'm dealing with a situation that I hate to deal with, or a person who gets under my skin. Do you have somebody in your life who knows right where your buttons are and how to push them, and they love to do it? Maybe when I'm disappointed because I didn't get my way about something, and maybe I'm a little bit prideful and I don't like it when I don't get my way, and my back gets up and I'm in a season. What are your seasons? Do you know them? When it is more likely that your fire can be lit, I wonder, do we know we're in a season right now? Quarantines, political and social controversies, spiritual struggles, fear about the virus, we have been in a season, maybe unlike any season before, maybe like that season in Melbourne in the February of 2009. You know what they did during that season? They called all the fire departments and they said, get ready for fires. Maybe we need to be thinking about that. Maybe we're in a season and we need to be on the alert for the possibility of fire. I want you to look back at Genesis 4. Remember when God says to Cain, sin is crouching at the door. Do you know what else he says to him there? He said, and you must master it. So here comes the third word. Last one I want you to hang on to as we go through this coming week. Knowing that we're in a season, brothers and sisters, we need to manage our anger well. And so I think that's the point, going back to our text, that Paul is trying to make. When he says, be angry, or in your anger, what follows? What does he say? Y'all can say it's okay. It's in the Bible. Do not sin. Say it with me so we'll remember it this morning. I must not sin. Anger is a powerful passion. And what God is requiring of me here is to put boundaries around that anger. Yes, yeah, sometimes it's okay to be angry, but only within the boundaries. I must not sin. For example, love requires that I always act for the good of others, never their harm. And that boundary has to go around my anger. This is a powerful passion. powerful passion, but the expectation is I will control it. And what that means, brothers and sisters, what is implied by Paul's teaching is it is never okay to justify my bad behavior by saying I was just so angry. Again, that principle is found throughout Scripture. If you go back to the text we've been working in Ephesians 4, he says more about that right down at the end of the chapter, Ephesians 4, verse 31. Look at this, Ephesians 4, 31. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, what? What does he say? Be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. So we have the power to put away the anger and the bitterness and to be kind to people. Proverbs 29:11, he says, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. See the boundaries that he talks about there? In fact, I also thought about Romans 12 last week as I was putting these thoughts together. Will you look at Romans 12? Look at right at the end of Romans 12. I thought about some of the things the Holy Spirit requires of us here and how it is absolutely necessary to manage our anger if I'm going to do what he says to do here. So I'm picking up in verse 17, Romans 12, verse 17. Listen to this and think about the need to manage anger. He says in verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, said the Lord. But then verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Listen, I don't know that we can do the stuff he's talking about here unless we've got our anger within the boundaries, unless we're managing it well. So I think it would be really easy this morning to say those three things and just to move on. The part that I think is missing is the how part. Real easy to say, don't let it get out of control. But as a practical matter, how does one do that? How do we set boundaries around this powerful passion? So before we're done, can I just say three quick things about that? I noticed you added quick and short this morning, Jeff. I like that. So I'm going to be like Jeff. Quick and short. Last three thoughts about how to do this. Number one, in fact, I forgot I put these on the slide, so that will be helpful. Number one, if we want to manage anger well, we got to learn to count the cost when our anger is out of control. So I hope your mind might go back to a sermon we had a few months ago. We talked about self-discipline. Do y'all remember that? And we talked about how do you get the strength to do the right thing when our passions want us to do the wrong thing. And we suggested that time that's helpful to count the cost, to stop and ponder what price will I pay if I let my anger get out of control. So I think we need to dwell there. What is the price? What is the price paid in our relationships? How much damage do I do in my marriage when my anger is out of control? And how do I hurt my relationship with my children when I don't set boundaries for my anger, when I'm angry and upset with them? And what about at the workplace, on my job? And what about in the church family? Has the work of God actually been damaged and harmed because I left the gate open and let my anger get outside the boundary? And what about the price paid to my reputation? I think about those videos. People behaving badly on the airplanes, and now their video is viral. What price is paid? How is the reputation damaged? And I've wondered about social media. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I can speak firsthand because I've seen it. about disciples over the last couple of years who have been angry. And they've posted things. And they have damaged their reputation. Because in their anger, they just cut loose. What price is going to be paid? I think when we sit down and ponder that, it strengthens the boundaries. And so it would be helpful to calculate the cost if my anger is out of control. Number two, lower the volume. I'm thinking Proverbs 15:1 when I say that, where the wise man said, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Just on a personal level, I can tell you, I have found it so much easier to manage my anger when, as the temperature goes up in a conversation or encounter, I try to talk softer, lower the volume, and slow down my words. I am not always successful, but I try to do that, and it helps me when I do. And then finally, number three, ponder this. I think this one's a little deeper. I think it will be helpful if we remember our responsibility to love our enemies. Because Jesus said to do that in Luke 6, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. I think in the last 2 years, we forgot that was in the Bible. Jesus calls on me and you to see people at their most valuable level. These are not just my coworkers or my neighbors or my fellow commuters. All these people around me are souls that need the gospel. And I want them to see Jesus in me. And I want to have open doors to talk to them about Jesus even when I'm angry. Think about this. I would never want to behave in a difficult interaction with someone that would make me embarrassed to greet them in the lobby if next Sunday they should happen to show up. Think about someone with a cell phone running around making a video of me at my worst moment, when the fire is hottest. Would I want that on YouTube for everyone to see? So maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that could be a fourth point. I could slip in the bottom there. Live like someone's following you around with their cell phone recording. Would I be embarrassed for people to see that? And in this season, when we are fearful about so many things, this virus, the direction of our country, government intrusion into our lives, social upheaval, progress of evil in our culture, add what you will to the list. Remember that through it all, our call is to rule our spirit well. Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit. And he who captures a city. In this season, let's rule our spirit well. So, maybe as I talk about all of that, you're thinking about some social media posts or some interactions you've had, and you think, I hope nobody was recording that. Maybe this has been a tough season and the boundaries around your anger have worn thin and there are some broken places in the fence. And maybe you're sitting here today thinking, there's some people sitting in this crowd who know about that. And maybe today you're thinking, I need to rededicate myself to our higher calling to be a light to the world. If we can help you with that and pray for you and encourage you as your church family, that's what we are, brothers and sisters. We're family, and we want to do that. You could let us know that today. Or maybe there's someone in this large crowd needs to make a choice to follow Jesus for the first time. You've never made that decision, but today you want to be with the people who are lights to the world. We would love to baptize you into Jesus Christ today if that's what your need is. So whatever you need today, you can make your way to the front right now while we stand, while we sing together.